So I'm joined today, excuse me, by David Henningham, who's recently written a book set in 1957 at the height of the Cold War era on Foulness Island. Now, at the time, the island was used by the military for weapons testing, as indeed remains the case today. Now, just in case you don't know, that covering an area of just over 9 square miles, Foulness is the largest island in Essex and the fourth largest in England. You can tell I've cheated and looked all that up. But because it's owned by the Ministry of Defence or their predecessors since 1922, and due to ongoing military activity, access to the island by non-residents is subject to stringent restrictions. And even if that were not the case, local geography means it's not an easy place to visit. But welcome anyway to Phoenix FM, to David. And this is a much easier place to visit, David.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Scott.
It's our pleasure. Now, perhaps we can start by learning a little more about you and your background. Is this your first book?
Yes, that's right. This is my first novel, although I've published poetry before. And I've been involved in publishing for 15 years with my wife, Ping. And we work as the Henningham Family Press. And we started out by making handmade books, artist books, which are collected by museums and collections like National Gallery Scotland, the Tate Gallery, V&A, stuff like that, places like that. And then recently we started publishing books by other authors, novels by other authors. And we've been very fortunate. Those have quickly ended up being listed by prizes like the Goldsmiths Prize or the Walter Scott Prize for historical fiction. So that new venture's been going really well.
But not easy during the lockdown.
Not easy. Everything takes, you know, anything that's you're working towards getting books in a bookshop, and bookshops have been really hard hit by all of the restrictions. So, yeah, everything takes a bit longer.
What about Amazon? Seems like that.
Amazon have done well with their sales. So online sales have carried on. But we really want to support bookshops and local bookshops. So,
Okay, well, let's go back to Foulness. Could you start by putting a bit of meat on the bones about the book itself?
Well, yeah. So, as you said earlier, the book is set on Foulness Island in 1957, and it revolves around this character, James, who's a corporal with the Intelligence Corps.
Yep.
And he's been sent to camouflage a part of the military installation on the island. So camouflage is part of what they used to do at this time. And he very quickly gets embroiled in some petty disputes with some of the other officers there, like Sergeant Atheling or Major Adulis, who's quite a posh and distant character.
Right.
And there's an interfering secretary called Miss Bradshaw. It gets a little bit...
I think we've all come into the contact with those.
So, so it's a light-hearted look at the military there, in a way. But he soon discovers, stored on the island, some artefacts and photographs and documents that take him back to the Victorian era, when on the sand there they tested things like stickless war rockets, which were used by the military in Abyssinia, now known as Ethiopia, in the 1860s. So the weapons that were tested there were used all over the world. And so he comes into contact with that history. And, of course, the Cold War is going on, and the nuclear research program is there, so he comes across that too.
So how did you come to locate your book on Foulness? Do you have any personal connection with the area?
Well, that's the thing. I was surprised to find out about Foulness at a late stage, because with my father I used to go sailing in the area all the way between, you know, Southend up to Battlesbridge, Maldon. You know, my dad did a lot in Goldhanger, so I knew the area rather well, I thought. And so coming across the Brimway first and then Foulness Island intrigued me. So I went for one of the open days they have. They have a heritage centre, and they welcome people once a month to their heritage centre. And it was the experience of clearing the security, which is very stringent, driving through all the military stuff, the gubbins on either side, and then arriving at a beautiful village. Was very disorienting. You know, it seems like it's in a funny place. They were there first, obviously. But and that really struck me also, that after about an hour there, you completely forget about the security. So I thought, well, actually, that's kind of how the world works. We're surrounded by security, But we don't think about it.
Mm.
So that it just slips away, you know, your everyday life. So I thought that was quite interesting, yeah.
Now, you mentioned the Broomway. What exactly is that?
Well, yeah, so the Broomway is another reason the area is fascinating. Mm. It's an ancient track which goes along the Maplin sandbanks. So you can only walk on it at low tide. And it starts at Wakering Stairs near the village of Great Wakering. And it runs for 6 miles along the sands up towards the River Crouch estuary. But it is very dangerous, potentially, especially if the weather is misty. So the guide who took me said, if you can't see Great Wakering Spire from the stairs, don't go on it. So it's quite... And the problem is that the tide comes in to your right, to your left, there's the soft mud between you and the land.
Right.
So if you're on the sand...
Not careful.
There's very little you can do. Yeah. So it's a very dangerous place.
Are you allowed to cross the Broomway then onto the island?
It is a right of way. But as with all rights, it should be used wisely. I went with a guide, with a group. But
the military let you on when you get there.
Well, the military, they have certain rights to do with it. It's a private company that run the testing now. But the... It is a public right of way, a kind of bridle way. Yeah. The funny thing about the Broomway as well is it's a blank slate. So whatever you bring with you is what you bring with you. So I read accounts of Edwardian cyclists going up and down it on a day trip. I mean, that couldn't be more Edwardian. The Victorians went there, and there's a Gothic story of a horrendous coach crash on there. I mean, that's very, very Victorian Gothic. So, and nowadays it's quite romantically, you know, that the idea of barefoot walking on the seabed. But the truth is you're surrounded by industry, the shipping, in front of you you have the wind turbines. And so, you know, it's an industrial area. If you can't see those things, go home.
Right. Now, you've inferred that in spite of the military presence and all the restrictions that you've mentioned, that nevertheless there are civilian residents on the island. Whereabouts are they located? And just how do you set about bringing the history of the village and especially the Broomway into the novel?
Yeah, there's a lot to do, isn't there? In spite of the... I mean, it's unbeatable security, isn't it? And that's what people say, you know, the life there can be blissful. It's a beautiful place, surrounded by countryside, thronged with birds, which are one of the main reasons for visiting. And, of course, with that security, you can leave your house unlocked, your car unlocked. It's easy enough for your friends to visit, because you can arrange for them to come easily. On the other hand... Yeah, and so they live mostly in the village of Church End,
right?
Which is a quite picturesque village with a church, which is now sadly closed. But the school has been turned into a heritage centre,
right?
And that's kind of the clue to, if you research the history, you know, you realise that with intensive farming after the Second World War, with better connections after the First World War, the closeness, the local dialect, the local school, these things started to become less viable, and so it's become opened up. But the history is told very well. And one book, for example, is John S. Dobson's book, Foulness, The Mystery Isle, which I picked up in the Heritage Centre.
Right.
And so they've told their story really well, the residents of Foulness Island. It's a fascinating place.
Now, the publicity for your book describes it as a haunting, experimental novel. Experimental in what way?
That's a good question. Essentially what it means is that I use different styles of writing to try and help tell the story. So in this case, each chapter in the book is named after a different bird species found on the island instead of just 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I wrote a poem about each of the birds that lives there or is found there, and use the movement that I described in that poem to then write the prose differently after that. So, for example, the first chapter is called Kittiwake, and it begins with a poem about a kittiwake landing on the Broomway. You read the story of James arriving on the island immediately after that, and it's quite clear he's identified that bird. So that's sort of how that works, yeah.
So, remind us, how can you get a hold of the copy of the book? No, the bookshops are now open now, so hopefully you can get it
Well, our this book will be hitting the shops in spring next year.
Right.
But right now it's available for pre-order through Unbound, who are my publishers. And they're a crowdfunding publisher. And the address for that is unbound.com/books/Foulness, which is spelled F-O-U-L-N-E-S-S.
Right.
And if you go to that, you can hear a reading from the book, you can read an extract from the book, and you can pledge now towards the first printing of that book. And that makes it more possible for it to reach more people and bring this little-known area of the world to attention of people who... I think people could learn a bit more about Essex, don't you?
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
I think that outside of Essex, Essex has a is seen in a very narrow way, but it's a fascinating place and has fascinating nooks and crannies like Foulness Island. So pledging early is a way of bringing that to a wider audience. And also, there is a handmade version of the book, like the ones we do for the museums, and there's one... which includes lots of beautiful photographs of the area we've been describing by Harpreet Kalsey, another Romford-based artist.
And presumably the details of that are all on the website you've just given. Yeah.
Unbound.com, books, Foulness.
Right, we'll put it on the website as well, don't worry. Have you got any plans for any new books to follow this one then?
Well, from our own publishing.
Well, from you.
Or from me. Yeah, well, I am actually working on a second book that takes another... old route in the south across the Chilterns, and thinking about the artists who identified with the area, like Stanley Spencer and Paul Nash, and so I'm currently putting my walking boots on again after when things are back to normal, and spending a bit of time walking up and down the Chilterns. So, yeah, that's what I'm working on now.